All right, thank you for being here. We are back in our series on Continue On. If you have that book, we are in chapter number five, and we're talking about being battle ready. We started the chapter probably about 3 weeks ago, so we'll pick up where we left off. But the principle is we have a spiritual enemy, and unlike, you know, sometimes countries will fight each other, people, and then they afterwards they make peace, right? Usually the one that wins is the one that's helping to make peace. Can you guys fix this? It sounds a little off there. But this is an enemy we'll never make peace with. His name is Satan. He's the enemy of God, and really the enemy of anything that is right or anything that is associated with God. It's a battle we cannot avoid. You know, you see people sometimes, and they're like, you know, they believe in peace. And by the way, we all believe in peace. But when someone wants to start a fight, you can't believe in peace. The peace only comes when you put them down, okay? You take care of the situation. So sometimes you just can't avoid it. We're never going to avoid the spiritual battle. So we have a spiritual enemy. There's going to be a battle. That's inevitable. So what are we to do? Well, we are talking about that. We talked about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 that he tells us, because again, it's a spiritual battle, so therefore it has to be fought with spiritual means and in a spiritual way. And so Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that. And we understand that a soldier is only going to be as effective or as strong as the protection that he has and the weapons that he can deploy. And so that's what we're looking at. We talked about some key lessons. We talked about the armor helps us to stay strong in the Lord. That was Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And also in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we still need God's power. This is not something you can just, you know, soldier up and get through it and win. It's a spiritual battle. You can't fight it in the flesh. We have to fight it with the Lord's help. Here's the part where that's new material. We must choose to wear the armor. We must choose to wear it. He gives us what we need to protect us, to help us to be victorious. But we are told to put on the armor. God doesn't force us to put the armor on. If a Christian loses, sometimes we may not lose the battle, but we lose skirmishes. If we lose those skirmishes, it's never God's fault. It's always on our end. We need to look at what happened in my life, what did I maybe not do, or where was I not cautious, so that we can make sure it doesn't happen again. But the thing we need to do is we need to put on the armor of God. God does not force us to do that. As I have said over and over and over, you are at, in your Christian life, you are at whatever level you're at because you've chosen to be there. It's nobody else's deal. Now, again, if you're a new Christian and growing, okay, the direction's the most important thing. But as you look at your life, like, you know, none of us are going to say I'm 100, okay? I'm 110%. No, you're not. None of us are. We're nowhere near there. But wherever we're at on that scale, if God gave us a scale to show where we're at, that's where we've chosen to be. By our dedication to the Lord, by our time with Him, that's all how it shakes out. But it's all available to us. We just have to access it. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. So if we're not ready for battle, it's because we've not prepared ourselves. And by the way, He does tell us, don't put on some of the pieces. We need all of it, right? Years and years ago, there was a player on the Rams, Eric Dickerson. How many of you remember Eric Dickerson? Eric Dickerson was a great running back. He wore all the, you know, he's a running back. He gets hit just about every play. And he wore as much, he wore all kinds of equipment, neck brace, all this stuff. He had extra pads. And they asked him, he goes, I'm going to wear every ounce of protection that's legal for me to wear. He's like, I'm not going to get killed here. Well, some of us, like, you know, in the Christian life, we pick and choose things, right? You know, I agree with that part of it, but this part of it, I'm kind of weak. Then you're leaving yourself open. You're leaving yourself vulnerable. And so choose to wear the armor and choose to wear all of it. And then also we need to understand, and we've alluded to it, we need the armor because of our enemy. I'll be honest with you. Here's the deal. The battle we're fighting, our enemy is too strong for us. He just is. I'm sorry. He is very, very strong. We cannot overestimate his power. That's why we have to have God's help. That's why we have to do God's power, have God's power, and that's after why we have to fulfill the responsibility God has given to us. Satan is not a novice. He's been doing this for thousands of years. And if we're not careful, we're sending ourselves out there and we're just not ready. He has been wreaking havoc on this earth since Adam and Eve. But in the scriptures, God has made us fully aware of everything that Satan wants to do, the things that he likes to do, so that we are not ignorant of what is happening, of what he's going to do. And as long as we walk with the Lord and spend time with us, he's not an undefeatable enemy. Because we're not defeating him. It's God's armor, it's God's spirit, God's power, and we're doing what we're supposed to do, and we understand where he is going to come. Back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye, I love the next three words, may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So if that's what it says, put it on there so we can be able to do it, then I'm going to backtrack, and the opposite would be true, right? If we don't put on the armor of God, then we are not able. We're just setting ourselves up for a disaster. We're setting ourselves up for a fall. And so we need to make sure that we put it on so we can stand. Our ability to stand up against Satan is related to the armor. Able means to be capable of. To be strong enough, to be powerful enough, to have the ability to do it. Why? Because we're standing against the wiles of the devil. Wiles means cunning. Wiles means deceitful. Wiles means tricky. We're no match for that. The only way we're going to know these tactics that he's using is to know the truth of Scripture. Because if you know the truth of Scripture, when Satan tries to come with one of these tactics, with one of these wiles, you're going to recognize it is because it'll go against the truth of Scripture. It'll go against a principle that we're supposed to live from the Scriptures. And so that's why it's very important that we're ready for him. Satan's main characteristic, and this isn't in the book, is that he's a liar, deceiver, liar. This verse isn't in your book. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus told these people, these religious, trying to trip, ye are of your father, the devil. Sometimes people are like, man, sometimes you're a little bit too straightforward. Well, Jesus told these, I've never said, you know what? Your dad's a devil in here. Now, if I had to point a couple of you out, okay, Jesus was straightforward. He's going to tell them the truth. He goes, "Your father and the lust or desire of your father ye will do." Then he's going to describe their father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Abode means live in. There's no truth in him at all. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, and he's a liar, he speaketh it of his own. In other words, it's who he is. For he is a liar and the father of it. So it says, when Satan tells you a lie, you know why he tells you a lie? Because that's who he is. We often say that God loves us, and that's absolutely true. But it goes beyond that. God doesn't just love us. God is love. He loves us because love is who he is at his core. Satan at his core is a liar. So guess how he trips us up? He lies to us. He tells us things that he gets us to believe things that are a lie or to believe things that don't line up with Scripture. That's the tool he used to bring sin into the world. Again, not in the book, but Genesis 3:3. And the serpent, Satan, said unto the woman, Eve, ye shall not surely die. He got her so confused. What did God say? Did God really say that? And then she gets all confused and he's like, you're not going to die. I know God said that, but you're not going to die. He's lying to her. Why? He was getting her to do something God told her not to do, or she would die. And so he had to get her mixed up so that he could come in for the kill, say, you're not going to die. Absolute liar. And he continues it to use it to bring sin into our lives. Now, so what does that mean? We must be diligent to never underestimate our enemy and to be prepared at all times. The Bible makes it very clear what our enemy's strategy is and what he wants to accomplish. If his main characteristic is deceit, his main doctrine is this. His main teaching is you do what you want to do. That's it. We think it's all this weird stuff. You know, a pentagram with a bunch of candles and then, you know, you're sacrificing a cat. That's not Satanism. That gives Satan a bad name. Okay? Now, there's demonic activity involved in all that. I understand that. But Satan would be okay if you just do one thing, what you want to do. That's his doctrine. Continuing in Genesis chapter 3, when he told her she would not die, he says this. And again, it's a lie wrapped up in a doctrine. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, what? Disobey him. That your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, small gods, small letter G. Not the real God. You'll be like a God. In other words, how are you a God? He says, knowing good and evil. The word knowing means deciding. So what he's saying is, if you'll buy into my doctrine and you disobey God and you do your own thing, you will be a God, a little g God. What does that mean? You're the determining factor in your life. You're deciding what you're going to do. You're going to decide what's right and wrong. The Bible has no place to tell you those things. It's all about what you want, what you think, and what you decide. And then when you do that, you buy a lie because you're not following the truth. He lies to us to get us to the place where we will do what we want to do, because when we do what we want to do, we will not do what God wants us to do. You say, repeat that. I can't. As we read and study the Bible, we become more aware of Satan's tactics. That allows us to be ready and to make it so we do not allow Satan the victory. This verse is in there. He says, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. That doesn't mean don't drink, although you shouldn't drink. Be serious. Be vigilant. Keep your eye on what's going on. Why? Because you're adversary, the devil. He's our enemy, by the way. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking, the next word, what is it? Whom? Whom he may devour. Although Satan is powerful, and Satan is more powerful than us, Satan can't just come mess up anybody he wants. Again. He's seeking whom he may devour, right? The lions. They don't just see a wildebeest. Wildebeest must have been created by God for lions to eat, those big horsey-looking things. They don't just see a pack of wildebeest and say, I know if we just run into the middle, we're bound to get one. That's not very smart. There's power in the herd, and as they see it, one moves and sees them, and they all scatter. They look for someone that starts to stray. They look for one that's getting weak. Maybe that's injured. Maybe that's young. Maybe that's not paying attention. And they know that they can pick that one off. So that's the one they go for. That's what Satan does. He's looking for those who don't have the armor of God on, who are not being vigilant, who are not being sober, who are not being careful. That's where he goes at them. That's why when we looked at temptation, it talks about Satan uses our lust to tempt us, our desires, that thing which was wrong, which was hardest for us to deal with in our life. He knows that's our weakness, and so that's where he goes after us. He's very, very smart, but we know these things. That's why the Bible tells us, so we know these things, and we know where we need to be careful. He says in 2 Corinthians, God says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's going to do. You know, it's like in sports, you game plan, right? I don't coach anymore, but years ago when I coached, if we were playing one of the better teams, I would want to make sure that I go and see them play. I want to know what you know. This guy's standing there. I know what play they're going to run. I know what options they're going to run. This is their defense. Okay, so I know how they're going to play that. So this is how we break that. I wanted to know who's their top player. I know that guy right there. When we play football, that's the guy the middle linebacker needs to knock a few more times to slow him down. So I knew that going in. I didn't just go there and say, okay, let's just run this defense, and I have no clue what they're doing. I want to know what they're doing. Because if I know what they're doing, I know that I can create a strategy that puts us in the best place to beat them. I was coaching, and Pastor, when you coach basketball, it was never just you coaching basketball. It was you and Pastor Esposito, okay? He just didn't let that one go. He was all in. And we were going to end up in the championship game against Lancaster. We were the two best teams. And so we had beat them the first time we played them. The second time we played them, they had a really good coach. I forget his name now. Really good guy. The second time we played them, it's like, you know, we pressed them right off the bat. It's 8-0. We stole the ball 3 times, layups. And it's like, okay, we're going to pound them. And then they called timeout. And that was pretty much it for us, okay? He knew what we were going to do, and he put something in there. And it's like, okay. This guy, so right before the tournament, we know we're going to play them. Pastor's like, we're going to put a new offense in because we know what they're doing. They know our offense. We know they can stop that. We need something new. And so we put this little, I don't know what it's called, high post or something. I wasn't really good with it. It's just like I knew how it worked. And so when they went to play us and they put their thing and their strategy in place, it's like, hey, you guys didn't do that before. Well, we're doing it now. And then if they would start defending that, we'd go back to the press, or we'd go back to this, or go back to that. But we knew that from watching. Okay? Do you know what knowing your Bible is? It's watching. It's knowing exactly how the enemy works. It's knowing exactly how sin works. It's knowing exactly how the flesh works. And so we understand when it's coming upon us or it's coming towards us, and we have the truth to combat it. The enemy employs this strategy. It's like, okay, I can see that coming. I'm ready for it. And so God clues us into what Satan is doing. Then he tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Place means a specific plot of land or a specific area. In other words, don't let Satan get a place in your life. Don't let Satan get a place in what you're doing. You know, it's like when you're fighting another country and you're kind of separated, you want to get some of that, you want to get in on their land. You want to take some of that, now we've got a beachhead here, okay? And so we got to be very careful about that. Don't let him get in. Once he gets a foothold, he's not going to just back out. So we have to be very, very careful. Now, I do want to say this before we move on, and so that we do have some joy here. Let us realize that although he is deceitful and powerful, he will not be victorious in the end. Okay? This is in the book, but Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them, it's all over the Bible, deceptive, liar, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. So he may win skirmishes. He may be able, if we're not careful, to win victories in our life, but ultimately, he's a loser. He's fighting a defeated battle. Okay? It's like you record a game, and you don't know, you know, your team's down by 20 or something. I was watching one game. I forget what it was. Okay, no. I think it was a championship, when the Rams played the championship game. I'm like, this is ridiculous. The boys recorded it. So I'm like, okay, it looks like they're going to lose, and I don't want to deal with that. So I pulled my phone out. Oh, they won. I just put my phone back. And then I didn't say anything, you know. Oh, man, they're going to lose. Just make it cool. But I was not stressed after that, right? You know why? I knew they won. Is that the pizza guy? We did the same thing. We taped the Super Bowl, and I did not know who won the Super Bowl until Troy texted right in the middle of the game when the Rams were losing and said, "We did it. They won." So I didn't tell the guys. I'm like, "Oh man, it looks like they're going to lose." I knew they won. Okay, didn't know the score, but I knew they won. Look, doesn't matter what's going on now. We get disgusted sometimes with what's going on in our society, and we get down about all of it. He is a loser. He's not going to win the ultimate battle. And he will be destroyed. So, one more here. We must understand, so we understand who our enemy is, right? But, this is important, and this is something we struggle with. We must understand who isn't our enemy. Who isn't our enemy? You can come across individuals who know that you are a Christian, and just the fact that you're a Christian, they'll be antagonistic towards you, right? Anybody ever meet someone like that? Right? I got a job years ago at a warehouse when we first moved back to California. My first night there, I was a friend of a guy that worked there. That's how I got the job, and they all knew he was a Christian. So when I came in, they knew I was a Christian. So one of the guys I didn't even know said, "Hey, I want you to meet somebody," and they brought him up. He said, "This guy's a Christian too. We know you're a Christian. This guy's a Christian too." I'm like, "Oh, really?" And he started cussing at me, and they all laughed and walked away like that was a joke. It's like, that hurt my feelings. It didn't hurt anything. That's how people are. They're just antagonistic towards God. They might just, you know, they'll make fun of you and all these little things. But the point is, they're not our enemies. Okay? There are people who are anti-God. Often they'll take out their animosity towards those of you that know the Lord. And by the way, they do that because you're a representation of God. And when you live right, you're a testimony of it, and that convicts them. So that's why they try to pull you down and look for flaws in your life so that they can say, "See, that Christianity, that's no big deal," because they're all hypocrites. And that makes them feel good about what they're not doing. There are also those in our society who push godless ideologies and agendas. They see Christians as roadblocks. By the way, in our political climate, they don't like Christians. And by the way, if someone's I'm not telling you what to do, it's just a suggestion. If someone's antagonistic towards Christianity and Christian principles, why would you vote for them? You're putting them in office and they're spitting in your face and passing laws going against what we believe. That's just ignorant. And the whole thing, it's like the ignorance of our society. And by the way, the abortion crowd, they're letting you know what they know that it's a baby. You look at their protests, they know it's a baby. They're not even hiding that anymore. Okay? And so it's just silly. The one woman's organization that's a big pusher of the abortions, they had a tweet that came out, and they said that 100% of the abortions, nobody dies. In other words, it's safe for the lady. I'm like, really? I'm just under the impression in 100% of the abortions, 50% of those involved die. The babies. God calls them children with child. Okay? So, but I'm getting upset trying to tell you not to do the type of thing. They're not our enemies, but by the way, that doesn't mean we don't fight the philosophies. That's the issue. You Christians are just too mean-spirited, and so we try to get all sweet and kind, and we backstep when they push some godless ideology, and once you backstep, they just keep pushing. They just keep pushing. No, this is what the Bible says. This is where I stand. This is what I believe. By the way, I'm not a Michigan football fan because I'm a Christian. There's something sickening about the blue and gold. And you know what? I don't like Jim Harbaugh. I didn't like him as a coach. You know, he coached at Stanford, and he beat USC, and then he took a step down. He coached the 49ers. That's like coaching Satan University. I mean, that's what that is. But you know what? I have a lot of respect for that guy. He got up and said, it's a baby. It's you're murdering a baby. Abortion's murder. And by the way, before we push that off as just, oh, he's just that kind of guy. No, he knows he's losing money. But Christians won't even stand up. But that's not the point. This isn't whatever. The point is, this type of stuff is all over our society. It is. So what do we do about it? Well, what happens is we get more upset at the individual than we do the person behind it. Yeah. And again, I'm straightforward. I think you figured that out if you've been here. And something's not true or something's evil, I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to be quiet. And by the way, if you haven't heard it already, you said that you shouldn't be political at church. That's not political. That's moral. That's moral. They've crossed that line a long time ago. Okay. But the point is, the reason they act that way is because they don't know the Lord. See? So if someone, you know, you have a baby and you get upset because the baby cries in the middle of the night, congratulations, by the way, that's just what babies do. It's like, what's wrong with you, you little heathen? It's a month old. You know what month-old babies do? They cry. They do ridiculous things in their diaper and expect you to change it. It's a baby. You know, we get upset with children, like, why'd you do that? Didn't you know that's ignorant? It's like, because they're three. That's what three-year-olds do, ignorant things. And people that don't know the Lord, they do things that people that don't know the Lord would do. Now, we stand up for righteousness, don't get me wrong. We stand up and say, look, you can say that, you can drop all the tolerance and all the phobic stuff you want to drop. It has nothing to do with that. Right is right, wrong is wrong. But they're not our enemy. They're not our enemy. There's a guy, back when I was going to Bible college, he pastored a church in Oregon. Good-sized church, good guy, very well known, and stood for righteousness. And so he decided that he would run, I think he ran for governor. And he stepped down from his church to run for governor. I think that was a bad choice. Yeah. I'm sorry, there's only so much you can do as governor. We're called to reach people for the Lord. Yeah. Now again, when we have an opportunity to stand up for right policies, we ought to stand up for right policies. Yeah. When we have a chance to vote out somebody who's putting in a harmful, horrible policy, we ought to vote them out. But that's not where America is going to be helped. It'll help the climate, but people need Jesus Christ. They need the Lord. And so our enemy, Satan's behind all of it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Never, ever, ever forget it's a spiritual war. And the evil that emanates in a society, in sin, it all originates with Satan. And he's behind all of it. And so as we stand for right, as we do the right thing, realize people are not our enemies. That person, and by the way, it's you have to really walk a fine line. Some people just say some ignorant and blasphemous stuff. But you realize that person that says those things that we get irritated with, rightfully so, if they don't trust Christ as Savior, they're going to spend eternity in hell. That's heavy. And let it not be because we're rude or mean-spirited. I don't need to be rude against somebody to tell them that I disagree. And by the way, saying you disagree is not being rude. They try to do that to science. You're never going to get me to believe that it's a woman's choice. It is a woman's choice. She's choosing to murder a baby. It is a woman's choice, but she made the choice when she got pregnant. Well, you're going to force us to have babies? No. Quit being immoral and sleeping around. That'll solve the problem. Well, we're going back to the old day. No. Quit getting pregnant. It's pretty simple. Ask your mother. She'll explain it to you. Okay? But where do they get that philosophy from? They're not saved. They've been fed that for their whole life. And they can't think it through because they don't know the truth of Scripture. And so they just kind of dig into that. So yes, we stand up, but really we have to understand it's a spiritual battle. That's why when we get to the spiritual day, we got to pray. We got to pray. Think of it this way, and we're done. It's the only battle where if people that aren't saved are promoting satanic or just evil or sinful philosophies, it's the only battle where we can win someone to our side. Yep. Right? Someone gets saved, guess what? You just switch teams. Yep. You don't have to be on that side anymore. You can now know the truth and the light of Scripture, and we can get and go the right direction. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you for tonight, Lord. And there's just so much we need to understand about these spiritual battles. And so often, Lord, and again, I think it's a tactic of Satan. He tries to get us to fight things and people more than we fight the power that's behind it. We get more involved in political things, and we should vote right, than we do prayerful things. We get more involved in doing civic things instead of just trying to help our community to know Jesus Christ. I pray you'd help us to have the right mentality. Help us to understand our enemy so we can be ready. Help us to access the spiritual tools and weapons you've given us and protection you've given us to fight these battles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.